Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, As a Wind That Blows, starring Aline McMahon, is presented in observance of the high holiday season and was written by Morton Wishengrad.
Mirosh Hashanah Yekatevun, of Yom Tzom Kippur Yechatemun.
On New Year's Day, the decree is inscribed, and on the Day of Atonement, it is sealed. How many shall pass away, and how many shall be born?
Her name, Jesse Jonas Judah.
Who shall live, and who shall die?
The place, New York City.
Who shall attain the measure of man's days, and who shall not attain it?
The time, a bad time, September 1798.
Who shall perish by fire, and who by water, who by hunger, and who by thirst, who by earthquake, and who by plague. No, that's enough of the book. I don't want to read anymore, Benjamin. If you want to go to the synagogue, you can go. I am not going.
You can't mean that, Mother.
Have you ever known me to say what I didn't mean?
Tonight is the most important Sabbath of the year.
It will be a Sabbath without me.
People will notice. They will ask questions.
Then tell them the truth. Say, I am not coming.
I'll be saying Kaddish.
Well, if it pleases you, by all means.
If you were there, Mother, you could say Amen.
Amen to a lie. I shock you.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, a grown man of 35 years, and you can still be shocked. Benjamin, you are my son, but you are a simpleton.
It's very likely. I'm sorry you're not coming.
Be glad. Because if I went, I would curse God. Now, go to the synagogue. Go on. Let me alone. Is that you, Benjamin?
It's me.
What is it? Did you decide not to go?
I've gone and come back. Rabbi's come with me.
I didn't ask for you, Rabbi.
Your son made that clear.
I have nothing to discuss with you.
Mrs. Judah, I understand your feelings. I haven't come
Benjamin,
here to...
why did you bring this man?
Mother, this man, as you call him, is our rabbi.
Oh, so now you would teach me courtesy.
I would remind you what you taught me.
That's a good answer. Well, Rabbi, did my son tell you his mother is a blasphemer?
What he did tell me was that you wouldn't attend Sabbath service.
Nothing else.
He said if you came to the synagogue, you would come only to curse God. Come, Mrs. Judah.
Don't you believe me, Rabbi?
I am a man of faith, Mrs. Judah. I believe. Come to the synagogue and curse God. Friends, On the Sabbath of penitence, just before the mourner's prayer, it has been our custom that the rabbi say a few words. With your permission, on this Sabbath, I wish to violate custom. I call Jesse Jonas Judah to the altar.
Rabbi, this is something entirely without precedent.
It is. Come up, Mrs. Judah.
Spain and Portugal, such a thing was unheard of.
Quite so. Therefore, let this be another innovation in a new country. Step up, Mrs. Judah. Take my hand.
You may regret this, Rabbi.
Yes, I may. Members of the congregation, I ask you to bear in mind that a synagogue is a place for the worship of God. And I hope you remember also that if God is the source of life, he must also be the source of death. And that while most of us praise him with our good intentions, some must praise him with their evil intentions. What difference so long as we praise him with whatever truths are contained in our humanity? I ask you to listen to Jesse Jonas Judah, to whatever she may say.
I am here to blaspheme God. Well, why not? How is it put in the Kaddish? His glory is beyond all praises, all hymns, all blessings that man can render. Therefore, his glory should also be beyond my cursing. Rabbi, look, you tell the women there are no witches and no devils, except possibly in themselves. They don't have to cover their faces against me.
Rabbi, how long must we tolerate such language?
As long as it is spoken.
Rabbi, this is the holy week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
So it is. Do you know a better week for the expression of agony? Does she look as though she's come here to make a jest? Continue, Mrs. Judah. There will be no further interruption.
Kind of you. Since coming to New York, I've kept a good deal to myself, haven't I? Now, you women over there at the side, you've resented me, haven't you? I've borrowed neither sugar nor flour. I've lent no gossip. You counted me hard, haven't you? Why not? It's been hard to live. While my husband was alive, I was a shrew. I confess it. A mother of 12 children and a shrew. I confess it without apology. Ambition can make a nag of a woman whose eldest son is not yet 20, whose youngest boy is only 3 1/2. Now, don't be alarmed. I shall not speak of all 12 children. Only of Benjamin, the oldest, and of Walter, the youngest. On October 19th, 1781, I remember the date too well, my husband died. Well, let him rest in peace. And so I wept, remembering the dead, as befits a widow. But there were 12 children, and so I stopped weeping, as befits a mother, remembering the living.
Mother! Mother,
it's good to cry.
Don't let me stop you.
I mean, crying would be good for you.
I don't have the leisure for it. There's the matter of feeding, clothing, and housing you, your brothers, and your sisters. Now, sit down. I want to talk to you about them.
About their schooling?
About their going to work. We are in debt, Benjamin. Dying is expensive. It costs money. We owe a good deal of money.
You've come to tell me I can no longer think of studying to be a doctor.
Among other things, yes.
It was Father's dearest wish that his sons be learned men.
Your father had a good many wishes. He betrayed them all by dying. There is something irresponsible about a man who rushes off to die before his children are fully grown.
Mother, if it makes things easier for you to be bitter, then be bitter, but...
But what?
Nothing. Very well, I shall go to Dr. Bunon and tell him I can no longer be his student.
Girls and I will find work to do. We can sew, we can make candles, we can do a good many things. You and your brothers must find whatever work you can.
Mother, try not to worry.
No, that's impossible.
We're young, we're strong. We'll manage.
Mother, you mustn't worry.
Benjamin, I too had some hopes for my sons. Now I take you away from your books to squander the learning years of your youth to earn pennies for bread.
Not all your sons. Walter is still a baby. Maybe when he grows up...
We'll have to work for it. Hard.
As hard as necessary, Mother.
Do you mean that, Benjamin?
We will work for Walter. When he grows up, he's going to have a chance.
Well, what more do you want to know? Shall I tell you how my young sons left their schoolrooms in order to earn a dollar a week? How my young daughters labored with me into the night so that their father's debts could be repaid? No, you don't have to know these things. Poverty is a bore, yet allow my small boast. My house was clean, my children were clothed, there was food on our table, we were sufficient unto ourselves, and we took pride in Walter, who was the youngest and the best. Now, Rabbi, it was you who told me yourself that our pride was not misplaced.
He is doing well in his studies.
I'm glad.
But not surprised.
No, Rabbi.
The boy has a mind, Mrs. Judah. Would be a pity to take him from school.
You assume that I will.
You took his brothers out, not that I blame you.
Kind of you, Rabbi.
But this one is different. Walter has the temperament and the aptitude for scholarship.
Mm-hmm. What do you propose?
That he be allowed to continue with his studies.
Toward what end?
He could become a rabbi.
Two of his grandfathers were rabbis. One of his grandfathers was a physician.
And you prefer medicine?
No, I'm not interfering. Medicine is what Walter wants. I will encourage anything he wants and is willing to work for.
It has been good to talk with you. I'll be getting along, Mrs. Judah.
Rabbi, is conversation with me such a strain?
You are a strange woman, Mrs. Judah.
You mean I am what people call a hard woman?
Possibly.
Now, why is it, do you suppose?
You have a disconcerting habit. You tell the truth.
Well, I suppose it's one thing to be severe on yourself, but quite another thing to be severe on your neighbors.
And you're not a stupid woman, Mrs. Judah.
Rabbi, are you so formal with all your congregants? My name is Jesse.
Thank you.
Don't worry about Walter. Something will become of him. We've all worked for it, deprived ourselves for it. All the opportunities denied to his brother will be given to him.
Do you know, Jesse, I wonder if that's such a good thing.
What else shall I tell you? That Walter was handsome? Yes, he was handsome. Shall I tell you that he was good? Very well, he was good. Or shall I tell you that there was a great day in my life? The day when he was 17, when he came to his brother Benjamin and to me and kissed us?
I'm enrolled. I'm a student at Columbia Medical College.
I knew that they would accept you. I knew they couldn't refuse you.
Dr. Walter Judah.
Well, in a few years, Mother.
And you're happy.
Oh, what do you think?
I think you're happy. What are you staring at?
At you.
Benjamin, you tell your brother it's quite improper for a young man to stare at his mother.
Can't help himself.
Why can't he help himself?
You're smiling.
Oh, is that why, Walter?
I don't know you, Mother. Like someone I've met for the first time.
Very well, then. I shall smile forever.
Ah, when you make a promise like that, you're supposed to laugh.
Well, how was that?
Pretty good, but you'll do it better as you go along. Oh, don't be discouraged, Mama. Give yourself time.
He attended the medical lectures of Dr. Bunon and Dr. Hussack. He came home boasting new gods like Galen and Vesalius and Malpighi. He cluttered his room with pills and potions and ointments in jars and canisters and boxes. He jabbered Latin. His speech was anatomical structures. He was drunk on learning. And he read. Always he read. Mostly to himself, but sometimes to us. No, he didn't read quietly. No, he did it with passion.
There is no codex of medicine, no complete handbook of which one may base all theory or practice. What confusion when we regard the therapy of different nations. The French bleed, use purges, water, always want to dilute. Mm-hmm. The English give salts and herbs. The Viennese praise their new remedies, the good effects of which no one else can confirm. And the Germans mill about, trying first this and that, collecting, compiling... Mama, am I boring you?
Yes.
But this is fascinating stuff.
To you.
Look, there's a passage on the spleen and the pancreas I particularly want to read to you.
I suspect I particularly don't want to hear it.
People must thirst after knowledge.
Somewhere along the line, I misplaced my thirst.
Very well, Mama. I'll read them myself.
An excellent solution. Walter?
Yes, Mama?
You've taken to calling me Mama, I suppose I like it.
Someday. Not now, someday when I'm older. I'll be able to tell you how much I love you.
A woman bears 12 children, and to each child she gives her love. But for good or for evil, there is always something about the eldest child and the youngest child. Shall I tell you the rest now? Well, you know how it began. On August 12th, 13th, and 14th, there were torrential rains. On August 18th, there were reports of serious illness in the tenements near the East River. On August 20th, the Reverend Mr. O'Brien called at my house.
You are Mrs. Judah?
I am.
It's rather urgent that I see your son.
No, he's not at home at the moment. Are you ill, sir?
Not I, madam. Several families of poor Scottish immigrants living on Cherry Street.
My son is not a physician. He's a medical student.
He's been highly recommended to me by his teachers at Columbia College. Dr. Hosack assured me that these poor immigrants would be very well attended by your son. Will you notify him, madam? I believe it to be urgent.
Yes, of course. Reverend?
I've written the address down here. Please ask your son to lose no time.
When did you first feel sick?
3 days ago it was. It came on sudden, no warning.
Hmm. Did you have a chill?
Aye, first a chill, and then a terrible headache and pain in my back.
Pain here?
Aye. You knew the place.
Mm-hmm. Turn your eyes to the light. Let me see your tongue. All right. Thank you.
What is it, sir?
It's a fever. You'll need some medicine.
I have no money, sir.
No, don't worry about that. Just keep covered. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Reverend, have you been waiting in the hall?
I have, Mr. Judah. You look pale, sir.
I couldn't breathe in there. Do all immigrants live in such places?
Some have it worse. You'll see places that want every single necessity of life. Subterranean apartments that admit no light. Not even a stool to sit on or a bed to lie upon. Crowded like vermin into one small room. Oh, what sickness does the man have?
His pulse is very slow. His eyes are yellow with jaundice.
And his sickness?
I'm not certain. If tonight or tomorrow the fever leaves him for a while, and then if the fever comes back, as it may, with more jaundice and vomiting.
Yes?
It'll be yellow fever.
Is there no medicine?
I'll bring what I can, for what it's worth, maybe.
There are more than 20 who are sick in this building alone.
I'll bring enough for all of them.
Mr. Judah, they cannot pay you. Neither can I.
I understand that, Reverend. I'll be here tomorrow.
$50 is a good deal of money.
I know it, Benjamin. I may even need more.
Since you're borrowing the money from me, could I know what it's for?
Medicine?
Those immigrants on Cherry Street?
Yes, Benjamin.
They aren't your responsibility.
I know.
What's wrong with them, Walter?
Yellow fever.
You're sure?
In every case, there was a fall of temperature, then a period of calm, followed by a rise in temperature. Increased jaundice, hemorrhages into the skin, black vomit.
Doesn't sound very pretty.
Yellow fever isn't pretty.
Are you taking care of yourself?
As best I can.
You're not a doctor, Walter. Why don't you turn these cases over to an experienced physician?
No, Benjamin, these immigrants have no money to pay a doctor. Besides, every doctor in New York City is now busy day and night with similar cases. If I don't attend them, they have no one. They need medicine, Benjamin.
I'll have the money for you in half an hour. Has Mother spoken to you?
No.
All the hopes she had for the rest of us are concentrated in you. You are all the things we wanted to become and couldn't.
Benjamin, I'll be very careful. For my own sake, too. Mama!
Tea is hot. Here, drink it. Take some bread and jelly.
I thought no one heard me.
I've heard you every morning for a week. You can't go on an empty stomach now. Sit down, have something.
You haven't slept much, have you?
Now, don't be concerned with me. When you decided to become a physician, I knew there would be risks. I accept it. Drink the tea while it's hot.
Now, you look tired, Mama. With the plague spreading, it's terribly important for people not to get tired. Mama, I'm worried about you.
How can a man of 20 years and 5 months be so artless? So you worry about me?
Yes, Mama.
Now, you put more jelly on that bread. Now, chew your food now. Don't bolt it.
Yes, Mama.
You said the plague is spreading?
Thousands of people have it now. The poor have it worst.
How many are dying of those you are tending?
Many.
How many is many?
I saw Dr. Hansuck last night. In the last week alone, 589 have died.
I've put some meat and some bread in a paper. Now, at noon, you sit down somewhere in the sunshine, huh, and eat. Look, see that your hands are clean.
I'll remember. Mama, I'm not a doctor yet. I don't have to do this. If you say the word, I'll stop.
Have another slice of bread.
Thank you, Mother.
On the first day of the Hebrew month Tishri, I came here to the same synagogue, and I welcomed the New Year with you. 5 days ago, I sat there, near the wall. I opened the same book you opened. I read the same prayer. In the book of life, blessing, peace, and good sustenance, may we be remembered and inscribed before thee. But while I said it, my son Walter lay in fever on his bed. Oh, Lord, great God of pain, jaundice, fever. My son lay dying in his bed, dying of his own mercy, his own innocence, his own love. God of Israel, I am a mother who yesterday buried her youngest son, and I will not praise you for it. I will stand in judgment of you. How long will ye judge unjustly? How long will you respect the persons of the wicked while letting the godly to sicken and the innocent to die? Answer me! How long?
Until the day of judgment, Jesse.
Then let us rise and bless God, the source of all death.
And the source of life. They go together, Jesse. What begins in life must end in death.
That's all you have to tell me.
Isn't it enough? Death is the truth of life. The certainty of death is what makes life precious. It is time for the mourner's prayer. Benjamin, will you say the Kaddish for your brother?
Magnified and sanctified be the name of God throughout the world, which he hath created according to his will. May we behold his kingdom established on earth speedily and in our day, so that God may rule over us all.
Amen.
May he who maketh peace in the high places make peace for Israel. And say ye, Amen.
Amen. Jesse Judah, you did not say Amen?
No, I did not.
You cannot refuse.
I can.
If it were a prayer for yourself, you could refuse. If it were a prayer for your son, you could refuse. But this is a prayer, not only for yourself, not only for Israel. The prayer is for all mankind. You cannot refuse all mankind. Walter Judah did not refuse. Jesse Judah, say you Amen.
It will not bring my son back to life. But for all mankind. Very well. I say Amen.
At Chatham Square in New York City, you will find a tiny cemetery where lie buried the ancient dead. And there amid the graves you will find the tombstone of Walter Jonas Judah, student of medicine, who died on September 15th, 1798, in the service of mankind. As a fleeting shadow, as a passing cloud, as the wind that blows, as the floating dust, as a dream that vanishes. Keep faith, O Lord, with them that sleep in the dust.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama starring Aline McMahon in As a Wind That Blows was presented in observance of the high holiday season and was written by Morton Wishingrad. William Redfield was heard as Walter, Leon Janney as Benjamin, and Santos Ortega as the rabbi. The music was composed by Morris Mamarski, conducted by Milton Cahins. Robert Siegel sang the liturgical music. The production directed by Edward King. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.